Item number nine, Columbia River concurrent night fishing rules. This is a briefing with Mr. Twite, sir, and Mr. Lothrop, sir.
Thank you, Chairman Smith and Commissioners, and Director Suswin. This is in response to a request from the Commission, from Commissioner Graybill, for staff to provide an inventory of the areas where night fishing is allowed in the Columbia Basin, as well as a sense of the management implications of the current status of the rules. And so working with the regional program managers in the basin and others, we've pulled together this inventory, and we're going to walk you through some of the issues associated with that and then suggest steps forward. And I'll turn it over to Ryan to give you the actual results.
Good day, Chair, Commissioners. I'm Ryan Lothrop. I'll be walking through much of this presentation. Bill will fill in some gaps if I miss anything significant. So the first point, we'll go through the inventory. So what we'll be doing is kind of briefly going through the current permanent rule, a suite of the current permanent rules that are out there by region, by species. And we're focusing in on salmon, steelhead, and sturgeon. And then walking through the rationale for making any change to close down night fishing or not, why it's important to have this review and discuss what possible next steps would occur. So the first slide here is the lower Columbia River. So that's the mouth up to the Oregon-Washington border. And from basically the mouth to McNary Dam, for both salmon and steelhead combined, Washington waters are open to fishing at night, while Oregon waters are not. So that's one concurrent issue we have going on with regards to regulations. And to clarify, Oregon's closure to fishing at night pertains to all species except for the Northern Pike Minnow Reward Program. And then as you move upriver from McNary Dam to the border with Washington, Oregon on the Columbia River, Oregon does allow fishing for salmon and steelhead at night, and that was intentionally to get concurrent with Washington several years ago. So that is the one exception in Oregon waters on the Columbia. And Washington there is open to fishing at night. So we are concurrent in that situation. Looking at Washington tributaries below Bonneville Dam, you have the Cowlitz, Lewis, and Kalama. The majority of those sections are closed to fishing at night. However, some of the lower reaches are open. And then moving above Bonneville Dam, so Drano, Wind, but Big White, and the Klickitat, those are kind of a mixed bag. Spring chinook season, those are closed at night, and then in the lower reach of the wind. And then for the remainder of the season, those are open at night. And then looking at sturgeon, which you'll see this basically replicated through the other few slides, statewide sturgeon in Washington is closed to fishing at night. I think there might be one exception, Chehalis, but in the Columbia Basin, it's closed to fishing at night. So moving upriver, with salmon and steelhead from the Washington-Oregon border to Priest Rapids Dam, we are open to fishing at night, but we just made a comment there that most of that section is actually closed during the spring chinook season, basically above the confluence of the Snake. The Yakima River is closed to at night. And then as you move further upriver in the Columbia from Priest Rapids, including the tributaries upstream, primarily those are open at night, and that's primarily a summer chinook fishery. And then in the tributaries, there's a little bit of a mixed bag of open and closed. And then above Priest Rapids, when opened by emergency rule for steelhead, those will be closed at night. And then again, sturgeon is closed at night fishing in this section. So the last inventory piece we have here is the Snake River and its tributaries. So during the spring chinook season, both the river and the tributaries It is closed to fishing at night for spring Chinook, and those are just Washington waters. Looking at fall Chinook and the steelhead season for both the Snake River and tributaries, those are open to fishing at night. And there is some concurrency waters along with the Snake River, and those do match. Idaho is open at night as well.
That being said, Brian, you're not changing anything. That's just where we're at today.
That is the current set of permanent rules in place.
Okay.
Yes.
I know.
Tomorrow morning, host mother. Don't.
No excuses. No. Whole wheat.
Gluten free.
There you go, yeah. With tea. Lobster.
Pot shop and get you guys some brownies. Apple turnovers. So we're just your status quo in this, right?
Yes. What I've kind of walked through is the current situation. Potential modifications we'll get to in a later slide. And then sturgeon in Washington, I've kind of mentioned it twice already, we are closed at night. However, this is a non-concurrent issue with Idaho where they do allow fishing at night. So that is the one non-concurrent issue we have on the border with Idaho. So some of the discussion... with why would we consider making changes to what's open to fishing at night and closing those down? For the biggest part that we deal with on an annual basis is in-season management. So in the Columbia, we have run size updates to dam counts and catch accounting, and we do not sample at night. And so when we're tallying up our impacts, we're not counting what occurred at night, except in the case where we sample early in the morning, there will be some folks that were out fishing at night that we would catch, but obviously we're not accounting for everything. So that's one rationale. We are also in the time and maybe the new norm of low run sizes, particularly, you know, we've seen some Chinook runs coming in quite a bit lower this last year, but even more so steelhead runs. And it's, you know, uncertain if the runs will increase or decrease. We don't have 2019 steelhead run size forecast yet. But that being said, we are having to walk through and tightly manage our ESA impacts as we move forward, particularly in small run sizes. Moving down, we have rule simplification. You may have been briefed in previous commission meetings on the process in Washington where we've moved forward on primarily game fish rule simplification process. We did take a stab at updating and simplifying salmon rules, and we did that last year at North of Falcon, so we're moving forward, but we did not attempt to, we've communicated with Oregon, but we did not make any significant changes that would improve rules between Oregon and Washington. And have had some recent discussions on that, and are, have focused a little bit more on night fishing. And so, by, for example, getting concurrent with Oregon, for example, and closing down at night, that would simplify what set of rules, what side of the river you're fishing on, do you follow? There is the one exception I mentioned above McNary Dam, where that is open at night in Oregon. So we are concurrent there when it pertains to salmon and steelhead. So I'm just going to kind of walk through some pros and cons of why we would consider closing at night. One rationale is it would increase the close. By closing at night, you would increase your precision for in-season management and catch accounting. We would make a step forward on concurrency with Oregon in a from at least regulation side of things. Enforcement would have wouldn't have to be distracted by what side of the river you're fishing on. It's pretty much a black and white issue for enforcement, so it would improve enforcement resources. I mentioned rule simplification, so anglers can follow the rules a little bit cleaner. And then there's the possibility of fewer in-season changes. If we were to go back in time 2 years ago and last year, in both set of years, we have actually closed through E-Rules night fishing on the Washington side because Oregon was already closed at night. Now, moving on to the difficulties in closing down at night and what that means, there are several popular fisheries, and they are primarily focused on steelhead fishing above McNary Dam and in Drano Lake, for example. And then by providing night fishing opportunity, that provides a additional diversity in your suite of fisheries to pursue for the recreational anglers. So moving forward, what would be the next steps into pursuing concurrency, for example, with joint waters with Oregon from the mouth upstream to the Oregon-Washington border by closing at night for salmon and steelhead? This would use the North of Falcon process. We have already established public meetings. We have, in past seasons, like last year, even discussed night fishing closures, but we didn't propose those changes. We just had open discussions. And then from the motion earlier this morning on the North of Falcon policy, the delegated authority as it pertains to steelhead fishing could be used in this case. And so that deals with concurrency with Oregon. And then you have your sturgeon fishery in Idaho, and that has yet to be determined. But I suspect we'll want to have discussions with Idaho how to improve alignment between regulations. So with that, I'll kind of pass off to Bill to kind of wrap us up.
One reason we're proposing to use the North of Falcon process, even though a fair amount of this relates to steelhead, is we have used the within the Columbia River North of Falcon process now for 2 years in a row to address the very low summer steelhead returns that we're getting, and we in both we in Oregon anticipate we'll do that again this year. So it does logically fit. Contemplation of these kinds of closures logically fits into the summer steelhead part of those North of Falcon, east of McNary discussions that we've been having.
I brought this to the attention of the commission in that I've been contacted primarily the concern was night fishing at Drano Lake. This is one of these cold water refuges that attracts a lot of steelhead and salmon and that are being fished on at night and having enforcement problems. Also, what I'd heard about, just anecdotally, though, was a lot of abuses in terms of a lot of catch and release fishing of wild fish, and a lot of pressure in those focal areas. And so it would have solved several problems by closing Drano Lake particularly, and I want to thank staff for expanding that and addressing the concerns of concurrency and other issues that they've described here. And it is an enforcement headache that we can help alleviate by getting some concurrency and eliminating night fishing. So thank you for the presentation.
Yeah, so my question is kind of the more general. Is this a refugia sort of, is this a conservation issue as well as a concurrency issue in that migrating fish are often finding refugia at night, and so they're easier to hit and all and take? And I mean, you've already mentioned it's harder to monitor a night fishery, so that becomes a conservation question in a way. But in general, just given the biology of migrating fish, is it a conservation issue to have them open or not?
So like for Drano, for example, mm-hmm. The fish pool up there day and night, so from that side of things, it's not just a night effect. But yes, there would be less impact, so you would send more fish up river, so in that sense, it would be a conservation effect.
Mr. Chairman, Well, just as a quick follow-up on the conservation thing, and then I'll have a question about the lack of resources to sample at night. So the conservation constraint is set in terms of an impact level. And to the extent that the fisheries operate up to that level and then are closed, the conservation objectives are achieved. So if this is an intent to improve on that conservation ceiling and lower it by closing areas, then I think that ought to be brought out. That's not quite the answer I would have thought of. Is this closing all kinds of things provides a conservation benefit, if you want to say it that way. That doesn't apply if you're hitting the ceiling anyway. You're still going to get to that same level. So what exactly is the conservation benefit? If there is, do we need more conservation than the current limit? If we do, then we ought to take that one head on day or night. So maybe they could get a little bit more of that analysis if we move forward.
Provide at least a preliminary answer to that. Where our sampling strategies are weighted very heavily towards daytime fishing, and where we rely on our sampled estimates of harvest for in-season management, there it's definitely an issue of conservation. And that should apply broadly across all run sizes, but as Ryan pointed out, it is really most acute at small run sizes where we're operating with very small margins for error. And there, Oregon has already made the determination that it, from their perspective, the potential bias that's introduced by not sampling at night, by not having the resources to sample at night, they already made the determination that if they can address that potential bias through closing the fisheries at night, that's a positive. And certainly as we look at it in the light of low run sizes and, as Ryan pointed out, in the light of, because we've already had to now a couple years in a row take emergency actions in season for something because of our concern that not only can we not monitor them, but we also, there's also more enforcement difficulties at night. That's always been there. And it's this combination of a known bias in the sampling, creating some degree of known error in your in-season management with the very small margins for error that low run sizes bring, that's the basis for staff's judgment that this is a conservation issue as well as a concurrency and reg simplification issue.
So towards that question of not sampling at night, that's a little disturbing to hear that it almost leads one to believe that fishing at night's a freebie, doesn't count. Let's go in there and fish because no one's checking, and that won't count on the quota. Let me go on here for a moment. So if we know a fishery's operating 24 hours a day and we have 10 samplers to allocate, I wonder why there is not an allocation throughout the full fishing period, including the night, given existing resources. If there is a fishery at night, and we're not counting that, all the catch should be counted. So that's my question, really, about lack of resources to sample at night and to account for catch. We should not be having any fisheries that are open that are not being counted for their catch. If it's open, we should be sampling it. That's a little surprising to hear that. So is it true that the Drano Lake night fishery, whatever they catch, is not counted?
So it is not counted in season, but post-season when we get the catch record cards. But as you know, that's about anywhere from a 9-month to 12 or even longer delay in terms of incorporating those numbers. But the catch record card gives us a full estimate of what's been harvested 24 hours. It's the in-season portion where we're not able to take advantage of that, and we don't have a ready correction factor at hand.
And why is it that staff resources aren't allocated to monitor at night when a known fishery is going on?
the catch at night, as best we understand it, is enough smaller that in order to get not just your actual catch estimate, but recall we're also out there to recover tags, recover marks, and other things. And so from the standpoint of use of our available resources, daytime is certainly the preferable one in terms of that's when they'll handle the most fish to get the most samples, biological samples, as well as marks. I think there have also been some safety issues that we simply haven't, that are best dealt with by having our samplers out there during the day. I think we, nighttime sampling is far more expensive in terms of the assuming we would often want to put samplers out there in pairs at night, whereas during the day there's not the same need.
And if I may add one more point, in some fisheries we do have a challenge of meeting the sample rate. So if we have a finite amount of resources, and so if you spread yourselves thin, your sample rate reduces overall because most of the effort still does occur at daytime. So that might be the other point as well.
Well, one of the things that we do with the physical sampling is that that isn't reflected in the catch release or catch report card is that how many fish did you catch? How many did you release? So what are the impacts on wild fish? That would be discovered in those creel that isn't occurring. And that's another concern, both from enforcement and conservation, is that we really don't know. And really what this came to my attention, a friend directed me to some Facebook pages where the guides were bragging about 40 and 50 fish experiences for their clients. And at that level, you know they're having a lot of impact on wild fish. So that was another concern.
Which again contradicts, well, there's not much going on at night. If that kind of thing is going on at night, we should be monitoring and sampling it, it would seem.
Or closing.
Yeah, that's the easy answer.
It's easy to close fisheries.
Okay.
Make it right.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.